Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to report, but nonetheless the truth, that justice in this country is now officially dead. Rest in peace. We have now entered a very, very dangerous and scary chapter in the United States of America, where there is absolutely zero actual justice. Justice is now met out from a more political standpoint, from a more ideological standpoint. And I'm not just talking about one incident. I'm not talking about two incidents. I'm talking about a ton of different incidents, folks. But let's start with the very obvious. And that is the Donald Trump prosecution. Persecution is actually a better word, but we'll use prosecution for any number of reasons. Ranging from illegally overvaluing his property, which is about as frivolous and ridiculous as any charge that has ever actually been accepted in the history of the United States of America, to this ridiculousness in Georgia, where it turns out the prosecutor, the DA down there, Fannie Willis and her lover, illegally using funds, illegally hiring, going on big lavish vacations. Folks, the inmates are running the asylum. Then we come up with $83 million. $83 million is the award that E. Jean Carroll is going to get because Donald Trump slandered her name by basically saying, I didn't do what she said I did. This is the equivalent of being fined because you defended yourself. If you were charged with a crime and you didn't do it, and you know you didn't do it, and you were still found guilty of it, and you were told to pay a penalty, and you said, well, I don't know. I was found guilty of it, but I'm telling you, they're crazy because I did not do this. Oh, civil penalty. You owe us $83 million for saying you're innocent. Show me where this ever happened before. The answer is it has not happened. They're trying to bankrupt this man. They are trying to put him in jail. They're trying to persecute him in any way imaginable so he does not become president of the United States. That's how terrified they are. That their judgment day is coming. They admit it. They get on television and say, well, you know what he said, revenge. Revenge against what? Revenge against what if you did nothing? What are you so afraid of revenge for? Oh, for trying to uphold the law and trying to just hold him accountable. Are you kidding? There's not a single sane individual that believes that anything you're doing is an attempt to uphold the law. There's not a businessman in the entire country, let alone the state of New York, who has ever been brought up on a charge like this. As far as the charge in Georgia is concerned, that's an outrage. When you're told by the people who actually are paid to be your voice and your eyes and ears on the campaign trail and in the voting booths, we're missing hundreds of thousand votes. We need to really find them because it appears as though in districts that you won, votes are missing. And you say, well, then find all I need is 8,000, 10,000, find them. And you interpret that as Donald Trump ordered his people to manufacture votes. Then I have no idea what you're listening to. You're actually not listening to anything. You're just making it up. You're making it up because you don't like them. Simple as that. Well, now that would be your average Democratic voter. The reason the politicians are making it up is because they're afraid of him. Because they know he knows what they're doing. So let's get back to the $83 million settlement. I want you to understand that at one point in this trial, E. Jean Carroll entered into evidence a dress. She said, this is the dress I wore the day Donald Trump sexually assaulted me. It was literally allowed as evidence. When the defense said, well, we looked into this dress. And as it turns out, this dress was not even manufactured, as we have verified from the person who manufactured it, until several years after this supposed incident happened. Meaning, this is not the dress. Meaning, this was an attempt to falsify evidence. And when the defense said, we want to present this information to the jury, the judge said, no. No, you are not allowed to defend yourself. The jury has to go in to deliberate thinking that really was the dress. Because you're not allowed in the United States of America to show contradictory evidence. Oh, you say you have an actual affidavit from the person who manufactured the dress saying absolutely impossible? We won't admit it. Sorry. Explain to me who does that. I'll tell you who does that. Crooked people. People who absolutely understand you're being prosecuted for no reason and they have to cover up their crime. Oh, we can't have the jury know this. He'll definitely be acquitted. This is not going to be admissible in my courtroom. They could have had tapes of E. Jean Carroll saying, I made this all up. And the judge would have said, we're not allowing that. How would you like to be? I don't care if you vote for Donald Trump or you don't. I want to ask you a serious question. How would you feel if that was you on trial for something? How would you feel if they accused you of robbing a bank and the person said, yes, positively identifying you as the person who robbed my bank? And you had three eyewitnesses who said you were at work. And the judge said, sorry, they're not allowed to give their testimony. All the jury's going to hear is that person pointed you out. Good enough for me. Sorry. What would you do? Would you think that was fair, or would you say this is outrageous? Now, this is not going to hold up. E. Jean Carroll won't get it done, because now we find out that E. Jean Carroll and the judge had business dealings before. He should have been recused from the case immediately. Nope. Nope. It's okay. It's only Donald Trump. No justice for him. It's Donald Trump. It's Satan himself. You don't give Satan himself justice. This is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. This is the end of justice as we know it in the United States of America. But it's not only Donald Trump, folks. It's not. We now find out that the FBI was literally petitioning Google for any of your searches that had anything to do with MAGA or Donald Trump or even so much as buying a Bible. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. If you ordered a Bible on Amazon and you had to Google it, where do I buy a Bible on Amazon or whatever, the FBI wanted to know about that because you might be a domestic terrorist. If you said, I want to see if Donald Trump's holding a rally near my town, FBI wants to know your name. You might be a domestic terrorist. We're going to have to watch your accounts. You ordered a MAGA hat through a website. FBI's going to have to keep their eye on you. You might be a domestic terrorist. I wonder if they did that if you bought a Biden hat or if you bought a George Floyd cap, huh? How about if you bought an Antifa cap? You know, we always hear, we don't know who these Antifa guys are. They wear a mask. You're really? Well, You mean to tell me the FBI can't find out where some of their stuff is coming from? And positively identify them? We can't be bothered with that. We're too busy looking up who ordered a Bible or a MAGA hat. Because they might be domestic terrorists. This is where it's come, folks. This is where it's come. You are now living in a country where your political ideology and your religious beliefs may determine your guilt or innocence, or if you're prosecuted or if you're not. And there are other factors as well. On the streets of New York City, a group of illegal immigrants literally attacked New York police officers, New York City police officers, physically attacked, beating them, kicking them in the head repeatedly, assaulting them, all for the reason that they were trying to arrest one of them for disorderly conduct, a man who had not very much prior to that, went into a department store, tried to steal, and when he was confronted by the people who run the store, bit them and assaulted them. When the police tried to intervene and arrest the man, that same guy, a group of his friends, all illegal immigrants, decided we're going to beat the police. We're going to physically beat them. Commissioner says this is the most outrageous thing I think I've ever seen, and he comes from New York City. As you know, I live in New York, and if that's the most outrageous thing you've seen in New York City, it's pretty bad. Every single one of the people responsible are out on the street as we speak. Every single one of them. They're not in jail. They're out on the street right now. That's your justice in America right now. Still rotting in jail from January 6th, who did nothing but walk the aisles and take pictures. They did not assault anyone. They did not vandalize anything. They didn't so much as throw a gum wrapper on the ground. And they're still in prison. These illegal immigrants, whose first act in this country was to illegally cross the border, and then beat and set upon two police officers. No problem. All you did was assault some police officers, you poor innocent immigrants. Remember, they're immigrants. They're not illegal aliens. Oh, yes, we know it's illegal to cross the border, but you have to understand, folks, they're only looking for a better life. That's why it's all women and children coming across. Really? How come when we see these lines at the border, 90% of them are 20-something-year-old males? They have cell phones. They have Nike sneakers. They are dressed well. Where in the blue hell are you coming up with the fact that it's mothers trying to save their children from horrible fate of their country? Where are you coming up with that? It's not true. Every one of these guys arrested was 20-something. And you know what they were doing? Living it up in a hotel that you pay for. Getting the free meals that you pay for. Meanwhile, they got cell phones and Nike sneakers on. Oh, there's no place to house them anymore? I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go into the minority neighborhoods and kick the minority children out of school so they don't have a way to get an education so that we can house more illegal immigrants. Oh, but Trump's the racist. Basically, what you said to those minorities is your children don't matter. We have 20-something men who have cell phones, Nike sneakers, and Adidas T-shirts on, and they need housing. So your 10-year-old child doesn't need an education. Sorry. But Trump's the racist. It's unbelievable. what is happening to our justice system in the United States of America. It's absolutely unbelievable, and no one is speaking up about it. And it's about time someone does. Donald Trump's lawyers were threatened with arrest for defending him. Oh, you can't go on television and say he's innocent. What do you mean? What do you mean you can't go on television and say he's innocent? Oh, you got a gag order. And the reason we put a gag order on you is very simple. We put a gag order on you so that when the reporters that we have already handpicked to say, Mr. Trump, would you like to speak on your innocence? Mr. Trump, tell us that you're innocent. Come on, tell us you didn't do it, Mr. Trump. And he can't say anything. And then the newscasters say, we sent our reporters down, and we tried to get a word with Mr. Trump, who could have denied these charges, but clearly he did not make any attempt to deny any of them. See how that works? That's how that works. Well, his silence speaks volumes. No, he was ordered into silence. And when he said, this is the United States of America, I'm not going to be silent. Do anything to E. Jean Carroll. I don't know the woman. If I did know the woman, I sure as hell wouldn't have done that to her. And even if it was consensual, she's not my type, which anybody who spent 5 minutes with E. Jean Carroll would know is true. You can't say any of that. You have to be silent while the reporters scream questions begging you to, all of your mega supporters are waiting for you to declare yourself innocent, Mr. Trump. How come you won't, Mr. Trump? See how that works, folks? Disgusting. Absolutely revolting. But they're coming for you, too. See, this is the thing. I could talk about Donald Trump and all these made-up charges. Everybody knows they're made up. And you know how they know? We know that they know they're made up. Because every time they indict him, his popularity goes up and his support goes up. Because the American people are starting to wake up and say, well, come on. Now this isn't passing the lab test. But I'm not even concerned about Donald Trump because unlike most of us, including myself, he has the means, the endless means, to fight back. Most of us do not have the endless means to fight back. So when they come for us, what are you going to do? When because you decided you wanted to support this candidate and said, maybe I'll donate $50 to his election. You're targeted by FBI, who now say, well, we have a reason to monitor every single piece of activity this person does. And if it turns out that they say something negative about Joe Biden, we could say, well, you know, that could be construed as a threat. You know, you said something really negative about the current president of the United States. Meanwhile, they're calling Donald Trump a Nazi. They're calling for his death, basically. People on The View are saying maybe he'll be assassinated. And in the meantime, if you say that Joe Biden is suffering from cognitive decline, well, then you might get an FBI visit. Or worse, God forbid, you decided you're ordering a Bible. God forbid you took some online virtual church ceremonies, you know, the ones they told you you had to do because of COVID. God forbid you did those. Because if you did, oh, well, look what a religious fanatic they are. Instead of just skipping 6 months of church, they actually went online. They must be fanatics. Even during a COVID pandemic, they wouldn't stay away. They went online to a church meeting. How outrageous. They must be domestic terrorists. This is what you're getting, folks. Now, I'm warning you ahead of time. You can all laugh about this and say, good, I don't care what happens to Donald Trump, I hate him. Good, I don't care what happens to mega Republicans, I hate him. Good, I don't care what happens to these crazy religious people, I hate them. They're going to come for you. Because there's no way you're going to be able to live up to what they want you to be. Eventually, they're going to come for some of your freedoms. Eventually, they're going to come for some things you believe in or you target. And then you're going to realize and wake up and say, what was I thinking? You can't take away all Americans' rights at once, right? You're going to have to just do a select little group of people and convince the rest of America it's okay to do it to them. Then once it's done to them, then it's easy to say, well, I mean, you've set a precedent. We've done this to other people. It's not like we're targeting any individual now. Everybody's going to have to fall in line and do this. Gotcha. That's where it's heading. Put your political rivals in jail or try to bankrupt them with false lawsuits that are backed by people. I want you to understand that E. Jean Carroll did not have the means. She did not have the means to actually pursue this case. She was backed by some Democratic bigwigs who incidentally just happened to be the number one donor to Nikki Haley's campaign. Isn't that a huge coincidence? So let me get this straight. The E. Jean Carroll lawsuit is funded by the same people who are the number one campaign donors to Nikki Haley? Now, before you say, well, you're just targeting the Democrats as if they're the only ones. Oh, no. Stay tuned. Here we go now. Jeff DeWitt, the head of the GOP in Arizona, is caught flat out on tape, basically threatening Carrie Lake, says, well, how much is it going to take? Get a number. Give me a number that I can take back to these very powerful who don't want you to run for Senate. They're willing to put their money where their mouth is. So give me a number, Carrie. And she says, no, I'm not giving you a number because I'm not going to be bribed off. Oh, it's not a bribe. Later you can come back and you can do your thing. Just a couple of years, you know, just take a pause for now in your political ambitions. Just take a pause, Carrie. And when she says, I'm not doing it, what are they going to do, kill me? You know what he says? He says, well, you do know that the Mexican cartels are operating in all 50 states now, right? That's what I heard anyway. So that's not an answer to the question. That's a threat. That's Jeff DeWitt basically saying, after she says, are they going to kill me? Well, they won't. But you do know these Mexican cartels are operating and we have connections. Oh, really? Well, I thought the Republican Party was the ones who were trying to prevent the cartels from coming into this country. Apparently, you're very chummy with them. Because what you're insinuating is they'll do your killing for them. Or you're killing for her for your benefit, if you were to say so. That's what that implies. Well, the drug cartels are in all 50 states, Carrie. I don't know. I mean, they wouldn't personally do anything to you, but who knows what these cartels might do. Uh-huh. Then later on says, if I ever went public with this, I'm going to turn the key in my car and boom. Kablooey. Nice people you're dealing with. GOP. That's real nice people you're dealing with. I want to know, where's the reporters asking Jeff DeWitt, people that sent you? I don't give a damn that you're their spokesman. You've admitted it. It's on tape. You can't deny it. So now the million-dollar question, Mr. DeWitt, is who are the people who told you to go there? We want their names. Have you heard anybody ask that question? No. Do you hear MSNBC asking? We want the names of these people, these GOP people, because this would really help us. Oh, all of a sudden they're quiet about it. I thought you hated the GOP. Oh, this is your chance. Lunge on them. Find them people. Put them on your network. Prove the GOP is corrupt. Oh, you're not doing it. Hey, MSNBC, hey, CNN, why aren't you doing that? They're your political rivals, just like Donald Trump, right? You just found out one of them is corrupt as can be. Ask for the names of these people. Go find Jeff DeWitt and tell him you need to know the names of these people. Oh, you're not doing it? Well, certainly the GOP must be. I mean, they police their own, right? I'm sure Sean Hannity's asked for it. Oh, wait, he hasn't? Well, then I'm sure Laura Ingraham has. Oh, she hasn't? Why? Wouldn't that be the first question you'd ask? If this guy resigns, steps down from being the head of the GOP in Arizona, and basically admits to having attempted to bribe someone not to run for Senate, wouldn't the first question be, who sent you? He said, I had a talk with these people back east. Okay. Name them. No, nobody wants to know. Suddenly, nobody's curious at all. The GOP's not curious. The right-wing news isn't curious. The left-wing news isn't curious. Nobody's curious. Professional wrestling. This is all just ridiculous. We just heard Joy Reid literally drop an F-bomb, not knowing she was on an open mic, saying that that Joe Biden's going to get us into another effing war. Bob, but when the camera's on and she knows she's on mic, Joe Biden's so wonderful. He's an amazing individual. I have nothing but the highest praise for him. Then she thinks the microphones are off and the camera's off, and she's like, the freaking idiot's going to get us into a fucking war. Ah. How come we can't be told the truth? Because the truth is, folks, both sides are as corrupt as they can be. As corrupt as they can possibly be. And when you run across something like this, where Jeff DeWitt was asked by individuals to bribe a candidate into dropping out, the reason they don't want the names of those people is because those same people did the same thing to the other party. So both the Democratic Party and the GOP are crapping their pants saying, oh, no, let's not ask any questions about who it is. That'll get us all in trouble. Self-preservation. That's what this is, self-preservation. Suddenly everyone's lost their curiosity. I was talking with a friend just a few hours ago, and I said, you know, what story has dropped completely? Ashley Biden's diary. You know, the diary where Ashley Biden said, when I was a child, right up until the age of 10 or 11, my dad made me take showers with him. And the result of taking showers with my dad at that early age is I became a nymphomaniac, and I had to seek treatment for being a nymphomaniac. Well, I got news. If you're just an open family who is perfectly fine with being nude around each other, that doesn't cause nymphomania. Nymphomania is a sexual addiction. What causes nymphomania is improper touching, sexual acts. And then you become addicted to those sexual acts. You don't become a drug addict because you hang around people who do drugs and you don't. You don't become a drug addict by seeing drug use on television. You become a drug addict by taking them. So quite obviously, Ashley Biden was subjected to some sort of sexual whatever. Did you see one camera, one reporter, seek out Ashley Biden and say, what is this all in your diary about your dad taking showers with you when you were 10 and 11 and it led to you becoming an nymphomaniac? Was there any inappropriate touching, or was there any, well, what was that all about? Where was, you know, when did this take place? Oh, no, no one's curious. It's all a lie. It's all Russian propaganda. Are you kidding? That never happened. Oh, the FBI actually broke down the door of Project Veritas and threatened to arrest him if they didn't give that diary back? I thought it was fake. FBI went after a fake diary, huh? Like the FBI didn't say, is that your diary? It is. We better get our hands on that before that gets to be news, huh? Found them quick enough. Because they had to prevent a major story from leaking. But no one would have covered that story. Fox News said a few little things on it. Did they send a reporter to find Ashley Biden? No. They didn't send a reporter to find Ashley Biden and ask her what's this all about. Suddenly they can't find her. She's like Osama bin Laden in a cave somewhere, except there she is, all celebrating at the White House, but they can't find her to ask that question. Unreal. Now, reverse that. Let's say Donald Trump's daughter had a diary in which it said that he did the exact same thing. Donald Trump would be persecuted. His daughter would be inundated with reporters 24 hours a day around her car, around her house. Tell us more details on this. What happened? What happened? Special news report tonight on what happened here. How big of a pervert is he? Did he touch you? Did he do this? What did he do? Did he force you to do this? All kinds of allegations would be made. All kinds of special prosecutors. You hear anything about this? No, you don't. And there's a reason for it. Some of the heads of social media go before the House and give their answers, if you want to call them that, to these questions about how safe your kids are. If you think one of those people give one damn about your kids, you've lost your mind. We have Mark Zuckerberg basically on tape saying each individual child is worth about $247 worth of profit to me over a course of 1 year. So basically he's reduced your children to a profit margin because that's all they are to him. And then proof was offered that Facebook, you know, the same platform who wouldn't let you say Hunter Biden's laptop was real or masks didn't work or the vaccine could be a problem. That same platform literally had content on it that they labeled as could be child abuse. Click it at your own risk because what you might be seeing is child abuse. And when they were asked a very simple question, how many people clicked that? Number one, why was it even there? If you identified something as possible child abuse, why wasn't it removed from the site? Before anybody could see it, or shortly thereafter anyway, and the question was answered the following. Well, we might be wrong. We may have inadvertently flagged something that we believed could be, and it may not have been. Oh. Okay. Well, how many people clicked it? How many people clicked that video to watch what you said could very well be child abuse? Because I know this, if I'm surfing the net and I run across something that says, if you click this video, you could very well be seeing child abuse of a sexual or physical nature, I'm not clicking it. And I doubt you are either. But people did. And when they were asked the question, well, how many people clicked it? I would have no way of knowing that. You have no way of knowing that. But you know how many people clicked Taylor Swift's new post, right? You can tell me that in a heartbeat. She had approximately 1,650,412 as of noon today. That you can tell me. You have no idea how many people clicked to say, oh, child abuse? Maybe I'll check into that. Let me just see about this myself. You're lying. You're flat out lying. It's called I don't want to do my job. They'll censor you quick enough if you say vaccines don't work. They'll censor you quick enough if you said Hunter Biden's laptop is real. They'll censor you quick enough if you said masks are ineffectual. But if you post a video that's inappropriate and has a minor in it, they'll just put up a little warning saying, click it at your own risk. We're not going to take it down or anything. I mean, too much trouble for us to actually watch it and say, what in the actual hell is this? We're reporting this immediately to the FBI. Nah, it's too much trouble. If you want to see it, click it. But it's at your own risk, nod, nod, wink, wink. We're not promoting it or anything. It reminds me of when these ridiculous people wanted to put warning labels on albums, right? And they thought this was going to help. Well, let's put warning labels on albums. And so all the teenagers are like, well, that's the one I want to buy. So you got the surfing the internet, and they see what you might see is child abuse. Oh, really? Wow. And Facebook's leaving it up, and it's okay for me to click it, and they're not tracking me? Disgusting. That they won't track. The FBI doesn't come to them and say, if you're going to do this, we want the ability to track the people who click it. However, they will go to Facebook and say, if they ordered a MAGA hat through your site, any kind of advertisement that was on your site, we want them tracked. I see. So that's what's important to the FBI. Are you telling me they posted pictures of a church service that they attended online, virtually online? Why? We have to know their whereabouts immediately. They could be domestic terrorists. Who does that? We told them they can't go to church. We told them strictly, you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. And now they're doing it virtually. Why? They must be fanatics. We need to know where they live. People who are clicking on child abuse videos, now we don't need to know nothing about them. Because there's no justice. Justice is done now. You've allowed it to happen. The very same type of thing that has happened throughout the years is repeating itself in the United States, where you have demonized a group of people to the point where people don't care what happened to them. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you can believe me or you may not believe me. That is up to you. I can't force you to believe what I'm saying. But if there was a person who actively hated Donald Trump, said everything I said was incorrect, and Joe Biden was the greatest president of the United States of America ever to be put on God's green earth, and he was being falsely prosecuted for something that I could speak up and say, there's no way he did that, because I'm an eyewitness to where he was, I certainly would do that. And the reason I would do that is because right is right, and wrong is wrong. It doesn't have a political R or D next to its name. It doesn't have a skin tone, color. It doesn't have a sexuality. It doesn't have a nationality. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And you either accept that, or you don't. If the person I was the closest friend of in real life is arguing with someone who I have absolutely nothing in common with and do not share one bit of their values, but they're right, my obligation is to say to my friend, you're wrong. They're right. And until we can get that way as a country, we are falling and falling quickly. Because the same people who gleefully laughed and thought it was an actual entertainment spectacle to watch the witches be hung on Gallows Hill in 1692 in Salem, Massachusetts, are now people who are saying, oh, you're a wacko religious nut? You're a Trump supporter? I don't care if they come for you. hang them. Whatever. Get what they deserve. How did you allow this government to desensitize you to the point where you don't even know what's right and what's wrong? How did you do that? When did you lose every bit of your humanity? I remember during the 2016 election, Hillary Clinton fell trying to get into a limousine. They said she maybe had pneumonia and she was trying to attend a thing and she ended up falling down. And there were some people who were Trump supporters who were laughing at it, saying, hey, you see what happened to Hillary? That's not funny. That's not funny. It's an elderly woman who's suffering from some kind of a malady and fell down. I don't take any pleasure in that, nor do I find it humorous. I don't find it humorous when Joe Biden can't find his way off stage. I don't find it humorous when Joe Biden says, if Donald Trump wants to take on a woman, he's got to understand he better not reap the benefit. I don't find that funny. I find that sad. I don't watch it for entertainment and say, ha, 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 he's an idiot, just like we told you. No, I find that sad. He doesn't belong in the White House anymore. He's in such cognitive decline that he can't do the job now, let alone 2 years from now. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's sad. Because right is right and wrong is wrong. And when you can allow people to march through the streets basically saying death to Israel, from the mountains to the sea, and they're okay, they're fine, but you can't speak up to defend yourself in a court of law over false allegations, something is very wrong in this country. Something is very, very wrong. When you can talk to people who say, it's an act of mercy to let these illegal aliens in because, after all, it's women and children who are fleeing oppression, and you see with your own eyes that the vast majority are young men, well-dressed, cell phones in their hands, Nike sneakers on their feet, and they're taking over schools where minority children rely upon that building for education. And you think it's okay, then you've lost the ability to know what's right and wrong. When you think it's okay for a sixth grader to have a book in his possession that clearly talks about a grown man anally rape graphic detail, and not only as a horror story, but implying that it wasn't the most unpleasant thing that ever happened to the child, that's pornography. And it's not okay to be in a sixth grader's library. And when people say this must be removed, if you say you're for banning books, you're an evil person, and you don't understand what's right and what's wrong. Now, I know there's people saying, well, you know, educationally, it's good to let children know about sexual abuse. Okay, you could do that without describing it. How come you just couldn't write, you know, when I was this age, my uncle, whoever it happened to be, my cousin, forced me to have some, inappropriate touching and did some things to me that I knew were wrong. That has the same impact on a young reader without giving him the graphic details of thrusting himself into me with a passionate... Why are you doing that? You're doing that to titillate people. That's erotica. And you're doing it on purpose to sexualize children because you're evil people. And you hide behind a righteous cause, which makes you even more evil. Because you do know what's right and wrong. You just want to blur the lines. You know it's wrong for a sixth grader to read that. And you know you can't defend it. So you say, well, it's very educational. It teaches children to speak up if they're being sexually abused. I know that you know, it's in very graphic and extreme detail. I want to ask you a question. What kind of an adult writes that? What kind of an adult sits down and says, I'm going to write a graphic depiction of a sixth grader being anally violated by his 50-year-old uncle with sex toys, and I'm graphically going to write about every single thing and how it felt and how long it went on and in graphic detail? Who does that? Who decides that's what I'm going to do to be an author? Because that sounds to me like someone's perverted fantasy that they're just writing down, and then they're going to preach it to children. That's what that sounds like to me. And I would say that's a dangerous person. If I were to just go and sit on a park bench and talk to some little girl about all kinds of horrible sexual things, I would be arrested. And the charge would be illegal dealing with a minor. But I guess if I wrote it in a book and handed it to her and asked her to read it, I would be a wonderful, wonderful educator of a child. Turn to Ted at that. Oh, there's nothing to see here. We don't need to go find out why those books were put in libraries and that children were being indoctrinated into a sexuality they don't understand. We don't need that. We don't need to get involved with that. We need to go find the people who's ordering the Bible. That's the book everybody should fear, I guess, right? Don't put that in the hands of a child. Don't you dare have a Bible in a public school, but it's okay to have pornography. And you're telling me they don't know the difference between wrong and right? You're telling me justice isn't dead? It is dead, folks. And it's probably not coming back. Because we now have justices, we have judges who are clearly motivated by nothing but ideology. Republican bad, Democrat good. Same exact crime. Two different sentences. We can't have that. We cannot have that as a country. Because if we do, we're not a country. We also can't have open borders. If you're going to tell me that some mother and her children escaped cartels who were going to sex traffic them and fled to this country saying, please let me in, I'm being persecuted, I'm all for letting her in. Then you know what? We have checkpoints that you go to. Don't you understand that it's the cartels themselves that are literally putting wristbands on these people? They are color-coded wristbands, and the color coding is for how much they owe the cartel. Joe Biden has single-handedly enriched the drug cartels by allowing these borders to be open. He has made them hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And what are they going to do with that money? They're going to put it right back into illegal dealings in fentanyl, drug trade, white slavery, child trafficking, everything that they do. Everything that they do. So the next time someone tells you, these poor people are just trying to come over for a better life. Yes, a handful of them are. And if I were coming over for a better life, if I were fleeing the cartels who were threatening to murder me and traffic my children, the first country I got into that wasn't like that, that's where I'd stay. They're passing two or three countries to come to the United States. Two or three countries they'd be perfectly safe in. They're coming to the United States because they know very clearly it is open season. We're going to get free hotel rooms. We're going to get free food. We're going to get free health care. We're going to be treated like saints. And if we commit crimes, we're not even going to be deported. When they asked Kathy Hochul, should the people who literally beat New York City police officers, kicked them in the face, stomped on them when they were down, beat them, mob beat them, should they be deported? Do you know what her answer was? Well, it's something to look into. It's something to look into. I wonder what would have happened if that mob beat down Kathy Hochul. I'll tell you what would have happened. They would have been shot. Kathy Hochul's bodyguards would have shot them dead, every one of them. They would have been called heroes. Heroic guards, Kathy Hochul's bodyguards, heroically save her from a massive beatdown, possible murder. It would all be justified. It would all be fine. When the head of the New York City Police Department literally says, I cannot believe that they're letting them out. I cannot believe that my officers are being attacked on the street and there's no consequence. Do you not think that they're smart enough to realize that that sends a message? We can get away with this. We're allowed to do this. Oh, they may come slap our hand, but they're not deporting us. They're not keeping us in jail. How do you think that makes the officers feel? You think they feel like justice is being done? You think they think justice isn't dead? We tried to arrest a guy who shoplifted and assaulted a shopkeeper. We were beaten by an angry mob of his friends, and the justice system says, let him out. No big deal. But justice isn't dead, right? Folks, this has reached a critical mass. You can believe the news all you want, that everything's fine and the crime rate is not going up and justice is blind and even-handed, all you want. The interesting thing is the left tells us justice is horrible when it comes to race, right? Oh, minorities are persecuted, and the Caucasians never are. But when I say to you, Republicans are being, and the Democrats are being let off, oh, that's impossible. Justice is fair. You're crazy. You're talking radical now. You're saying that the justice isn't even. Well, isn't that what you've been saying for years? Haven't you been saying the exact same thing? Oh, but it suited you then, because you could raise money on racism. You could buy that extra house out in on the island, right? Because you raised money being an advocate against racism while you're lining your pockets with the money of people who can't even afford to put food on their table. You're living it up. I don't know how we stop this, because there is only one way. The American people have to come to their senses. The American people who would not vote for Donald Trump have to stand up and say, I'd never vote for this guy, but leave him the hell alone. This is bullshit. He's not guilty of any of this stuff. You can't persecute people based on their political ideology. We won't have it as Americans. I remember a day. Well, I don't remember it personally because I wasn't alive. But I remember reading about a day that if a crime was happening to a minority person, many, many people who weren't minorities would drive right by. I'm not helping them. It's a minority. Whatever happens to them, happens to them. That's horrible. Now we're doing it again. Ah, religious nuts? Throw them in jail. MAGA Republicans? Put them in internment camps. It's all the same thing, folks. And it all boils down to what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And once again, I will reiterate, what's right does not have a particular color, particular race. It is not a particular ideology. It's not a particular sexuality. It's just right. And until people can stand up and defend their neighbor, whether they happen to be a Democrat or a Republican, if they're wrongly accused of something, Until people can stand up and say, no, we want religious freedom in this country, and that includes people we disagree with their religion or we don't subscribe to their religion, we are not going to have it. I see too many people say, Trump's in trouble now. Can't wait to go home and pop some popcorn to watch CNN. They're going to tell me how Trump's going to rot in jail. Oh, is he innocent? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't? Well, you were the same people who said, come on, honey, hurry up. They're going to hang another witch. Bring the children. It'll be a great night. We're getting rid of the evil. And we're all here to bear witness. Hanger. Oh, wasn't that a fun night? Same people who convinced people to put on white hoods and go burn down the houses of the African Americans. Ah, it's going to be a fun night. We're going to burn them out of their house. Well, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. And we can either sit by and idly watch it happen and say, or we can all just do what's right. And that may mean swallowing your pride and sticking up for people you disagree with. But it's not hard. It's not hard at all. Not if you really know what's right and what's wrong. And you care. I just don't know how many Americans still do, because you've managed to isolate people and divide people to the point where they're gleeful when something bad happens to their opponent or the people they think is their enemy. You're gleeful about it, and you shouldn't be. When people carrying a Bible are more threatening to you than strangers coming across the border with fentanyl, you've lost your way. You've lost your way. You've got to recorrect it, and you can't do it by sticking to a political ideology and saying one side is right and one side is wrong. You have to go back to right and wrong regardless. It's the only way we're ever going to get justice back, folks. But I can tell you this right now. As of this moment in the United States of America, based on what I have seen in the past 6 months, justice is dead.